Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're pretending to be ill, and it's all scripted.
We shred the cars. About a car a minute. 1,000 cars a day on a good day.
Right. Hello, and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable with me, Tiss. I did it perfectly.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Tiss, it took 128 episodes, but you did a flawless intro.
Yeah. Down to business. I'm fucking well.
Wow.
I'm dead.
We got in there. Well done, Tiss.
Takes me to get really
You're
ill.
You're on a mission.
To concentrate.
Because you feel ill, you just got to get through it.
Just got to get through it, yeah. I'm actually at my full potential when I'm ill.
Just got to get through this.
Daniel Bedingfield over there.
Got to get through this.
anyway,
of
this
course,
is
co-hosts.
This is Bob Shoy.
Yeah.
And this is Beefy Beef.
How's it going?
We're good.
Yeah. We're good.
We're
good.
Tired. Real tired.
I'm actually dead. I went to a festival and I didn't take the proper vitamins and depleted my body to the point where my immune system let its barriers down and I'm now fucking dying.
So this is like a pre-warning for listeners. Tiss is ill. Me and Beef are extremely tired.
Yeah.
We're all having a long week here. So, but we wanted to put an episode out. So let's power him through.
If I go off on delirious rants, then...
It's going to be high octane, high energy stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be really high octane. So,
high octane is like, that's what they put on the front of a Jason Statham movie. High octane.
Put on the front of an energy drink.
I can imagine that to be the name of a Jason Statham movie.
High octane. Starring Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne the Rock Statham. anyway. So today, what do you guys think we're going to be talking about today?
I have no idea. I haven't had a chance to even consider.
With you, it's. I don't think I could ever predict what it is.
yeah, we're talking about suppressed inventions.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
You know what? I wish I'd known we were doing this because then I would have been able to shout out the person who recommended this like 3 years ago.
God damn it. They're probably not listening.
Whoever the listener is, you know you suggested this. It was like 3.5 years ago. It was in our first year of the show.
Yeah.
So you may not even listen anymore. But yeah, this was a recommended one.
It took that long to research it. But it's going to be a banger. A barn burner.
yeah. Barnstorming episode. Suppressed inventions. Awesome.
Before we start, have you guys got any suppressed inventions that you've spring to mind when that subject gets raised?
I've invented?
Yeah. Anything that you've been suppressed on?
Things that were hushed.
Yeah.
What about the ones that Michael and Dwight come up with in the office?
Computron.
What do you mean? Have we suppressed inventions that
No. Have you guys heard of any inventions that may have been suppressed? Anything you believe has been suppressed in the realm of inventions that we should have?
Well, it depends.
Cure for cancer.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Beef.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that too on the nose?
No.
I don't know. Maybe. It just feels.
Is that? Are we talking more like physical inventions or?
Yeah, I mean anything.
Medicine.
Medicine. Everything. Anything that's been suppressed,
like
which could help mankind.
The 8-slice toaster.
That would just increase gluttony. That would.
Yeah, no one needs that much power.
No,
or toast.
I do want it though. If anyone knows of it, eight would be a.
Tiss, could you eat 8 slices of toast? Be honest.
What if you're hosting? What if you're hosting a shitload of people?
Everyone wait their turn.
Yeah. All the toast will be cold. The ones at the bottom will be soggy.
And I definitely, as I've got older, I've started to do like Mark from Peep Show, and I have a savoury one and a sweet one.
Oh, I do that, yeah.
Brown for first course, white for pudding. Brown is savoury, white's the treat. Of course, I'm the one who's laughing because I actually love brown toast.
Probably one with Bovril and then like jam or marmalade.
Yeah,
yeah. Jam,
I do like
jam
a Marmite one and a honey one sometimes.
Jam and Marmite's a golden combo. Golden.
Yeah, not together. God, no.
That has been suppressed, actually. You don't see it as
or
much.
Jam and Marmite.
Yeah, I mean, that's a simple, very cheap meal, yet we don't see it in restaurants. They ply us with expensive options when we don't need them. Sure. Crumpet. The crumpet is fine. Right, so we'll jump into the first one. Have you guys ever heard of the Phoebus Cartel?
The what?
The Phoebus Cartel.
No.
Phoebus, that's a Pokemon.
Phoebus, is it really? Is it a light? Yeah. Is it a light bulb Pokemon?
It's like a fish.
Electric type?
I can't remember. I just recognise the name.
Well, they've missed a trick because Phoebus is the name of a cartel to do with light bulbs.
Okay.
Have you heard of planned obsolescence before?
No. Is that? I'm from the name. I'm guessing it's something like. Is it like a stopgap invention?
Planned obsolescence is planning to make an obsolete item that people would have to consume more and more of. Repeat customers. So planned obsolescence is a lot of our products, actually, like iPhones. The average person buys upgrades their phone every 22 and a half months, I think. So that's planned obsolescence.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I haven't had a new phone for years.
I'm on the same tip. I'm on 4 years now.
But that's what people do, don't they? So they sign up to a 2-year contract, and then you get a chance to, your chance to upgrade comes a month and a half before the contract's finished.
Oh, I don't get a phone on my contract.
The shitter my phone gets, the less chance it is to get stolen. And let's face it, the worst thing that can happen is your phone getting stolen.
I've never had my phone stolen. I've never cracked a screen or done anything like that.
Oh, really? Well, I've cracked my screen.
Although I did drop my phone down the toilet.
I remember that.
I did that to a Game Boy.
Pre-toilet, not post-toilet. And I just put it in rice.
Put it in rice.
That's Ooh.
The classic. That's what the internet said. Just pop it in a Tupperware of rice overnight, and it was fine, right? Right as rain.
And it worked.
Yeah, fine. Right as rice.
Rice dryer. Suppressed invention.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, the Phoebus Cartel. Planned obsolescence. Yeah. This cartel was around from the 1920s until about the 1930s, 40s, about World War II. When was World War II? When did that start?
Like 30s into 40s.
Okay, yeah. So around that time, between 24 and then. So Osram, Philips, and General Electric, and the French company Compagnie d'Elan, all signed a pact as a cartel that basically they would manipulate the light bulb market, making their light bulbs planned to be 1,000 hours per lamp, fixed prices, everything fixed. So they controlled the light bulb business. They controlled how long they lasted, holding back the better technology. And yeah, for a good few years, had a global reaching cartel.
Oh, right.
So they controlled the light bulb industry, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And they still, I mean, you still see Osram, Philips, and General Electric today. Obviously, they got a lot more competition, I think, after the World Wars. I don't know if where it says it's something to do with the more competition, the technology rapidly advanced after World War II, so they couldn't keep it suppressed any longer. And also trade between countries became a lot harder after during the World War, with Osram being German.
So it was just greed, basically, driving the market.
Yeah, they all basically had a pact to suppress anything better, and made filament lamps, which were subpar on purpose. I imagine it pretty much happens the same now, although LED has come in. LED still has a lifespan, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know anything about lights.
I wouldn't put it past LEDs to have planned obsolescence built into them, some sort of lifespan on the drivers that drive them.
God, those pesky LEDs.
I just feel like that is something that is like baked into so much stuff to try and to just get that repeat business.
Mm. It's almost not a conspiracy. It's almost just that's what people would be doing.
Yeah.
That's the business plan.
But don't you think, though, you know how they say that iPhones, that's why. So if you keep your iPhone beyond your contract, like people are, my battery life seems to get shorter, and it seems
that,
to...
That's planned obsolescence.
That is true, that is true.
Is it, or is it just that we use them so much and that they're on all the time?
I don't think, maybe the battery, but like my iPhone is definitely slower. Like every time there's an update, it slows my iPhone down.
I think they admitted they came out and admitted they slowed them down.
But is that planned, or is that just overuse, surely? Because you could say
they're just trying to get you frustrated, so you go, I need the new one. Look how fast that person's is.
Yeah.
Mine is so slow.
The battery only...
It makes the new ones look faster in comparison.
Basically, they upgrade to cater for the better batteries in the newer phones, so the batteries beforehand can't keep up with the processing power. So they're not tailoring the experience to all users, just the higher end.
Even down to the apps, like the updates on the apps, eventually like your phone can't run the latest version of that app.
Can't run most new apps.
Yeah, half the stuff on my phone I can't use anymore. I can't even check my bank balance now. My Barclays app just updated, and now I can't log into my bank details on my phone.
Yeah, that's pro not updating.
It's really frustrating.
I've not updated to a point, but then I think when Spotify... shut me out, I had to update bank balance, that's pro.
The problem is that you almost can't blame companies for doing it, because we've become such a consumerist society that it's, you know, as a company making millions and millions, you know, why wouldn't you feed that consumerism, because that's what's keeping business alive.
Oh yeah.
I'm not saying it's okay, but it's...
You want them to buy the newer one. You don't want to keep making money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get it. I bought a new iPhone about a year ago.
X.
But no, mate, I'm not that stupid. no, I just needed... I just need some more storage. Because of all the photos.
I'm not that stupid.
Thing is, right...
Shout out to anyone with an iPhone X.
Well, because this is what pisses me off when you get people that buy a new iPhone. And I've got an iPhone. I've got nothing. I'm not anti Samsung. I just have an iPhone, and I've had an iPhone for years. But when the X came out, I remember speaking to, it was like a colleague, and I was like, "So what's it? What can I do?" And then they showed me that stupid thing where you can animate your face into an emoji, and you're like, all right, that's a gimmick though, right? That's, you're gonna get fed up of that by probably tomorrow.
I've literally not seen someone do that since that came out.
Have you not?
No.
Oh mate, it's
I remember when it came out, everyone was all about it, and now I've not seen anyone do it. But the 11's been announced now. You've got three cameras, guys.
Yeah, it's...
What's that, talking to the phone?
No, the emojis can, like, map onto your face. So, like, the emojis are moving
your
face.
Oh, yeah, that's a total gimmick. You know, the thing that's stuck, which I get baffled by, is the talking to the phone now.
Yeah.
Everyone is like, Google, can you search this? And it's...
Yeah, my dad does it.
It's crazy. My dad does it.
Beef's used to that, though. He walks around talking to robots around his house.
The Alexa. Yeah.
The thing is, though, Alexa's only good if...
You have to be careful saying Alexa on podcasts, because people listen to the podcast and it sets their machines off.
Oh, really?
Fuck.
No, that's funny.
Alexa, search some hardcore porn.
Oh, God. Oh.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess my home is... I've got one downstairs and then one upstairs, and but I don't really know why we don't really use them. I use them for just like quickly find out if it's going to rain as I leave the house.
That's amazing. Just to find out it's raining.
The future is now.
Leave. Imagine you couldn't wait to open the door. Like, is it raining? Is it raining? It is raining. And you open the door. Yes!
No, not if it's raining right now, you moron.
I know.
If I'm going to go out for a long walk.
I knew what you meant, but I just like the bastardized version more. Oh, God. Speaking of fucking rain, let's get back on topic, because this is the Cloudbuster.
Okay.
Right.
Cloudbuster topical.
He's got his segues and everything, babe.
Oh, mate, this is
mental.
This is a scripted episode. People think this is off the cuff. They're totally fucking
wrong.
Who
are you and what have you done with Tiss?
We're pretending to be ill, and it's all scripted. Dr. Wilhelm Reich escaped the Nazis.
I was hoping you'd have some Nazi stuff in it.
Yeah, always. The Nazis are always up to inventions.
Do you remember early in the run of the podcast, we used to talk about Adolf Hitler being the unofficial fourth member of Weird Tales?
No.
Am I imagining
that? Sounds
what?
Really fucking... That sounds...
Mate, that is a Berenstain Bears type thing.
That's like an alt-right type thing.
I don't remember that.
I think
that
we're talking about. No, I'm thinking of. It is Berenstain Bears because I'm actually thinking about Bigfoot. I'm thinking about Harry.
Oh my God, fucking hell.
We used to say Harry was the fourth member.
Oh, Harry and the Hendersons.
Thank God. Oh, if we said Adolf Hitler was the fourth member, what are we saying about ourselves?
Let's go and delete those old episodes.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus. Oh my life. We'd already be. I mean,
it was Harry. It was Harry and the Hendersons.
I mean, in the infinite possibility of all parallel universes, we that has happened. So,
right. So, come on, then, Tiss. Tell us about Cloudbuster and these crazy Nazis.
I've got a video that explains it really well, as always.
I love those. I love those videos. You're like, I can't be bothered to talk about that.
Dr. Wilhelm Reich was a remarkable man. Earning a doctorate in psychiatry, he was an influential figure in the field before moving to New York to escape the Nazis. He also coined the term orgone, referring to a biological energy. Soon after this, Reich began building orgone accumulators which could supposedly harness the mighty power of orgone to improve physical or mental health. But all of this was just a preamble for the Cloudbuster. In 1953, a severe drought swept across the United States for several months, leaving the state of Maine badly affected. So Reich decided to build a device to use orgone to bring the rain. According to the Bangor Daily News, within hours of its use, the area had a quarter of an inch of rain, despite none being forecast. Eventually, though, it seemed that his claims about the wonders of orgone caught up with him. The FDA took him to court to prevent orgone-related products and literature being distributed, as they believed it was fraud of the first magnitude. Reich was later convicted of contempt of court and sentenced to 2 years imprisonment. His designs were also completely destroyed. Conspiracy theorists have said that the FDA wanted Reich to keep quiet about the potential of the Cloudbuster.
So what do you think about that?
Family Guy did an episode about the Cloudbuster, didn't they?
No way.
It's like the first series or something. Stewie makes a weather controlling device so that broccoli can't grow and he doesn't have to eat broccoli anymore.
Yes, I remember. That's like the first episode, isn't it? Because it's like his
his
animal toy where it spins around and it must have been early.
But okay, so that's like a weather controlling device because there was a hell of a lot of drought.
There was a drought, and he created a weather controlling device that could summon water. I guess.
Do you think it actually worked?
Well, I mean,
wow,
he got put in prison, so probably.
had to hush him.
That's conclusive proof.
The thing is, you think weather, what could you do with weather control? Fucking lot.
Control the fucking weather.
Yeah, you could end the world.
You could end the world's problems with lots of... No, to be honest, as soon as you start meddling, that the world's fucked. The world will shake you off like a disease if you start trying to take control of the weather. That's what's going to happen.
Talking about controlling weather, have you seen the amount of videos of, like, you know, the hurricane, the recent hurricane in Florida and the Bahamas?
Right.
Have you seen the amount of videos of, and I would like to believe that they're like doctored videos. They're just like put together, but I don't think they are. People claiming that if they shoot at the hurricane, that will cause the hurricane to go.
No.
And there's another guy that said, well, if a hurricane is just a load of hot air, we've got an air force. Why can't we just get them to take a load of ice and drop the ice into the hot air? That will stop the hurricane.
Didn't want to nuke the hurricane. That would teach it.
Basically, don't mess with it.
Yeah, just stay out of his way.
Too powerful.
Well, stay out of people's way, because obviously they want to fucking nuke weather.
You can't.
That bad.
You can't stop a hurricane. You can't stop a force of nature.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to observe it.
That's why you can't stop weird tales.
I think shooting a gun at it is as good a plan as any. Because it's fun. I'd like to see the bullet spin round. I thought you were going to say if you shoot at it, it was so fast it would spin it back at you at the same speed.
Oh, I see.
And people tried this and died. That's a better story.
Yeah, I was going to do an episode on this at some point.
Shooting into hurricanes.
I was going to look at the instances of weather being changed in the Bible to see if it's scientifically... So taking, like, the splitting of the Red Sea and stuff like that.
Okay.
Miss Mackie tried this. Miss Mackie was trying to explain this to us.
What?
Miss Mackie.
Shout out to our old RS teacher.
Miss Mackie.
She might be dead.
Nah.
Nah.
Well, she might be. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
She might be. Just couldn't live with the... A theory that she isn't. She might be. Anyway.
Right, okay. So we don't know if it worked or not then.
I think it did. That's why they've been imprisoned.
But why would they imprison? Because surely how...
Didn't they
like,
say it did work?
Mm.
But how could they prove that that was what caused it? Like, how do we know the drought just didn't just end?
Because it's been ages, and then the end of the device turns up. It's a bit too...
Bit of a coincidental.
Bit of a coinky dink, innit?
Yeah, better lock him up.
Better lock him up, mate. Lock him up.
Because he's onto a multi-billion pound industry there, selling that to governments, you could end famine.
Yeah.
No, like Tiss says, you try and do that, something will, you know, cock up somewhere else.
Yeah, definitely. The world's all about balance.
But industries could use it to make more money, though. You know, umbrella company, make it get that weather control, make it rain all the time.
Oh, they'll make money short term, but it's long term that's going to ruin them. But then I guess they're probably using it.
We don't want to rain on their parade.
They probably just suppressed the idea and kept it for themselves. But anyway, that was the Cloudbuster.
Cloudbuster.
So wait a second. Why is it called the Cloudbuster?
Just a cool name.
Because he's busting out a big old cloud.
Yeah, he's going to bust out a big rainy cloud on that
busting
drought.
Busting out a cloud. Busting out one of those clouds. I'm busting out a cloud. There's another little one, which I've got a little bit of information on. Probably not as much as other topics, but worth a mention anyway. Cigarettes that are healthy were invented.
They're called carrots.
No, someone actually invented around the time cigarettes were riding high. They created a cigarette that was healthy, that had less carcinogens.
All right.
But when you say healthy, do you mean just better for you?
Yeah.
Like better than a normal cigarette are actually good for you?
So not bad for you.
Right.
I don't know about health-wise.
Like neutral.
Yeah, kind of neutral. As neutral as you can get.
So like a cigarette light?
Yeah.
Huh. But I mean, I can see why that didn't take off, because if you want to smoke, you're not really bothered about you doing it because you're addicted to it, right?
Yeah, but...
Also, it looks cool.
Yeah, it does look cool. Smoking is cool.
It could look exactly the same, though. You still smoked it, it's still lit, but it just it didn't have as many carcinogens.
Right.
It had a different recipe, but it was suppressed by the tobacco industry.
I'm actually surprised that that hasn't been a thing. Like, with all this, like, stop smoking and all that stuff to, like, wean you off, I'm surprised that hasn't been, like, a... They haven't worked at making them better for you.
Well, you know why? It's because they probably wouldn't... You would know the difference, wouldn't you? Like, you would taste the difference.
It might not have
the same effect on your body.
You say the same thing about if you went like vegan or something. You can taste the difference between like a soy sausage and a pork sausage, but you adjust.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, all right. Giving it all that.
Add some soy sausages for my dinner.
I've been eating the shroom dogs from Sainsbury's, let me tell you.
Oh, really?
Indistinguishable. Oh, God. The
I'll give it a
Cumberland
go.
Ones. The Cumberland ones, if you have them with like mash and peas, homemade gravy, perfection.
I had a leek and potato hash with horseradish for it and chopped up some soy sausages in it for dinner.
Oh.
It's good.
Jeez. I've got the video of the cigarette one. It might shed some more light on the situation.
Okay.
We all know smoking can cause cancer, so what's needed? Cigarettes without the carcinogens, of course. Well, they already exist. Well, kind of. In the 1960s and 70s, the Liggett and Myers Tobacco Company worked on a product that practically eliminated carcinogens, creating a healthier alternative to conventional cigarettes. Codenamed XA, the project was intended to regain lost market share, but would never make it that far. Why? Because rival tobacco firm Philip Morris allegedly threatened to eliminate it if they tried. According to Dr. James Mould, the research director on the project, marketing the XA would have been an admission that cigarettes were harmful. This would therefore have broken the gentleman's agreement between the big tobacco companies that any evidence to suggest cigarettes were harmful had to be suppressed.
Mm. Yeah, that's the problem. They tried to take on the big boys, and by then it's too much of a big business, isn't it? Smoke, well, maybe not so much anymore. I was thinking about this morning, right?
Go on.
As we left for work this morning, just driving out of, which is probably like less than a minute, we saw three people stood on the side of the road smoking, and it looks so weird.
Yeah.
I do notice less people do smoke now.
Yeah, it's more jarring.
Have you seen the attack in America on vaping now, though? So you say the tobacco companies have lost it, but they're still trying.
I've heard that there's been some actual negative side effects revealed now from vaping. Like, now people have done it for longer periods. It's like the effects it actually does have are coming out.
Yeah, such as?
I haven't read it. I just heard about it. Oh. Come on. What are you take me for?
No.
And click on an article.
It's interesting to see if it actually is, because I know people who vape and not obviously like nothing's happened to them, but like I trust that they've looked into it enough, and from what they've said, it's just like it's all spin and bullshit and a distraction, because it's the stuff they're saying is stuff that came out years ago but was never a problem. They've just sort of spun it. I don't know.
But do you think people would say the same things when they started saying cigarettes were harmful?
Maybe, but I don't think the vape industry is a massive industry, but I think there's a massive dog in the fight with cigarettes going and not having the grip on that new market.
Mm.
If they had the grip on the new market, I think they'd let it go gracefully, but I think the vape market is such a free-for-all of independent people making those things. Yeah, I don't know. My cynical side says that it's something to do with the tobacco companies.
I actually really don't like the smell of the really like sickly, sweety vapes.
Sticky toffee apple or something.
Yeah, like tutti frutti and stuff. Like, I walk in through, I'm like, oh, just go and eat some sweets. Like when I walk past someone.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you just go and eat a packet of sweets? I really don't like that smell. Beef, do you want me to beep out when you said the name of where you live?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. But do you know what I think, like, going back to the way society's changed, that they used to, I remember going into a restaurant with mum and dad, and they go, where do you want to sit, smoking or non-smoking?
Yeah.
Weird, so weird that that used to be part of our society. And, like, pubs as well, pubs would be, like, absolutely teeming. It was so noticeable, obviously, where I grew up in a village, had a village friend whose parents ran a pub. And it was really weird when the law came in, because, like, you used to go downstairs and the pub was just like haze, and then the next week it was crazy. It was so weird.
It's interesting how it's like some places. There's only a few places in Europe that still haven't gone completely through with the smoking ban yet, and Austria is one of them. So when obviously I spent a lot of time in Vienna, and all the pubs there are really smoky still. You open it and it is like, Jesus, I'll go somewhere else, because it's like too overpowering. I can't believe it's just like a cloud of smoke. But that, I think they've given up. They've brought the ban in now. I think they're one of the last countries in Europe to do it.
Wow.
What do you guys think about, just curious to see what you guys think about this whole thing of, I guess, policing products so that it's healthy. So, for example, with the smoking, it's you know, you can't, when you're selling cigarettes, you can't advertise, you can't have a pack of cigarettes with the, like, Marlboro or whatever. What do you think about the same thing with, like, fizzy drinks and chocolate bars and all this? You know, the sugar content's got to be, over here at least, it's really controlled. What do you think about that compared with the, you know, people are buying these products because they know they're bad for them. They just want to eat them.
Yeah.
But I think some people don't realize or don't think about how bad some things are for them. So it's just like, I don't see any harm in a reminder. Like, it could be easy to get in a habit of eating, you know, something that's really bad for you really habitually and not even thinking about it. And then, like, oh, why am I getting really fat? I don't really understand. But if you've got that reminder and you're like, yeah, go ahead, eat this, but it is bad for you. Don't, it's just like that reminder, like, yeah, I probably shouldn't eat like this all the fucking time.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has weaknesses and eats shit, and, you know, I'm terrible at them. My weakness is crisps. I know crisps are bad for me, but I'm always eating crisps.
Yeah.
Sorry, chips, as they are in America.
Yeah, I guess it's, I think some of it is education.
I think it's good to let children know that some foods are bad for them as well.
Mm. Yeah.
If there's those warnings, it makes you think, oh, okay, so that some food is bad for me and some food is good for me, because, you know, a lot of children probably don't actually know that.
No.
So to have that knowledge.
If you teach kids what food is, you'd have an understanding that what the food they shouldn't be eating isn't actually food at all. It's a food imitation product. It's made to imitate real food and make this food into something that it never has or ever will be, so that it tastes amazing and super tasty. But if you understood what food was and categorized the other food as food-like substance, you'd only eat a bit of it, because then you'd realize that, okay, this is food. I live on this.
Some actual food as well.
That is what I live on to, you know, go to the cinema or, I don't know, enjoy, like you said. But to live on, people actually fucking live on food-like substances, and that's
totally.
That was me through my whole life until a few years ago. But yeah, so I can understand how easy it is to fall into that.
Yeah, it's in moderation, isn't it?
But people don't understand moderation, because they get told to not eat it for so long, and then they get the choice to go and buy it themselves, and they think, well, fuck it, I'm going to buy a shitload of this stuff because now I can.
Yeah, I guess so.
And there's no reason why.
I actually feel sympathy for some people just don't like food that is good for them, though.
Yeah, no.
And I kind of feel sympathy for them. Like, some people just, like, I fucking hate the taste of vegetables.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. And that I actually do, like, feel some sympathy towards that.
I would definitely contest that they haven't had someone cook them vegetables in a way that is good, though, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I fucking love vegetables.
Like, I'd say most of the time. Like, I'd say those people haven't eaten a good vegetable meal. Vegetables isn't just about, like, raw carrots and stuff. It's, like, making that veg into something. lovely.
Well, some of it's a cost thing as well, isn't it? There's if you're in a, you know, if you're low income, some healthy food is really expensive.
Yeah. That is really, really unfortunate expensive. That like the food that's really bad for you is normally cheapest.
I don't know, Aldi. I mean, we go to Sainsbury's and we spend a shitload, like £30 minimum for like 10 items or something, like just specialty items. But you go to Aldi.
All the ones around us are Sainsbury's and it's so expensive. Yeah. For us. I have to get in the car if I want to get something.
It's a good selection, but it's expensive as shit.
Yeah.
But you go to Aldi and I spend maximum £30 and I get 2 weeks worth of vegetables. And it's like, I could eat full vegetable meals.
I drive up to Morrison's now, which is only 10 minutes away, and that's actually a pretty good balance of like cost and quality. It's like sort of pretty good balance for it.
Yeah. They do the wonky fruit, right?
Yeah. I get wonky grapes from there.
Wonky grapes!
Which are just grapes.
That leads us into our next segue, actually.
Let's get back into this. Is a really tangential episode, but it's been nice because our last few have been more like on point in different ways. This is very rambly.
This one's about the wonky grapes that have been suppressed. No, it's not.
suppressed and made into wine.
Okay, I'm going into a heavy blockbuster one, the one that I've got a lot of information for, and the one that I think is actually the most interesting. I think Lids was watching it and just like, this is mad. So what do you know about the EV1 made by General Motors in 96, I think it was?
Eevee, that's another Pokemon.
The EV1.
Isn't Eevee also the name of the girl robot in Wall-E?
Isn't it Eva?
Oh, Eva. Yeah, maybe.
Eva.
I don't know.
That's a good film.
He just wants to get it on with her.
So the EV1, the General Motors EV1. I'll show you a picture. It's this.
Right, it's a car. Nice. It just looks like a car.
Nice little sports car.
It's like a small Mazda.
Tom Hanks drove it. So
did he?
Hanks Meister. Didn't get that in your episode, did you know?
No, I didn't.
Right.
And so the really weird tale about the General Motors EV1 is that it was created in 96. It was a very well-designed car. A lot of people really loved it. There was waiting lists to buy more. And after a while, 1999, they eventually recalled all of them and destroyed them, despite protests from some of the owners that wanted to buy their EV1. They only lease sold them to begin with.
Right.
So they owned every one of them.
Is this all true?
This is all true. They owned every...
There's not even like this is a conspiracy. This is just true.
This is just true.
Right, okay.
Right.
They recalled all of them and destroyed all of them.
What, even Tom Hanks' one?
Every single one, yeah.
I bet Tom's got one somewhere.
They were super efficient. This, you know, 96... This isn't 96 made a super efficient electric car.
You forget
car.
How long ago 1996 was, but that is a hell of a long time ago.
It's a fucking long time ago to make I was
8 years old.
A genuinely.
But give us some features of this car. What made it so great?
Economical.
Let's have a look.
It ran on like air.
It ran on excrement.
Jesus, I don't know the battery life and all that, but
it was a petrol car though, right?
No, EV is just a completely electric car, 100% battery powered.
Right, okay.
Right.
I've got a video on it, so that will explain more maybe the specs, but yeah, so they basically recalled all of the cars, crushed them all. There was actually a contingent of owners who put up about 1.9 million in total to get the last 78 off of General Motors to own them, to buy them. And they refused that money. They quashed the car saying that there was no genuine public interest to the car despite having a waiting list. And they didn't admit to having a waiting list for a very long time. And they recently mentioned the waiting list in an interview, saying they did have one, but they whittled it down to a smaller waiting list.
So this is like the cigarettes thing again. Someone made a better version of the thing that exists, and all the other companies were like, no, we do it this way.
Yeah, I mean, through history, we've had electric cars, actually. Electric cars started... Oh, God, I don't know when I'm going to get this right or not. But they started a hell of a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm covering myself.
Sounds right to me.
Since cars have been... I'm pretty sure since cars have been a thing, electric cars have been a thing, you know? It's been always been like 50-50, and then gasoline cars overtook electric cars at some point. And the gasoline companies have ensured their dominance ever since. I'm just going to find... There's a tram company that was bought out by gasoline and dismantled. It was...
I'm interested to hear about this because I'm still not convinced by electric automobiles.
Let's watch a video on the EV1.
See if it tickles your fancy, Beef. See if you'd be up for buying one of these.
It's not that I like the technology. I agree with the technology. It's the lack of charging stations and how long they take to charge.
In 1987, GM won the World Solar Challenge race. GM CEO Roger Smith challenged the same design team to build a prototype for a practical electric car.
To drive the motor for all the different driving conditions.
Allen's breakthrough power system helped create an electric car unlike any that had ever been driven before.
I had one of those early EV1s and I used it here in the Capitol. I love the car.
Believe it or not, that sucker goes. That really? Thing will take you down the PCH so fast you could get a ticket.
They were quiet and fast, produced no exhaust, and ran without gasoline.
And we started seeing the momentum building for this and the waiting lists being created for these cars.
10 years later, these futuristic cars were almost entirely gone.
GM spokesman Dave Barthmas has worked for GM for nearly 10 years.
We spent in excess of $1 billion to drive this market, to build the market.
We would sit down with Hal Riney or with executives from GM and make, you know, how far, how fast, how much? These are the three questions we're getting. Please put it in the advertising. It's not rocket science. And they would go back and do the exact opposite. So we started this waiting list in order to prove demand to GM. But no matter how many people we got on that list, it was never considered enough demand.
We have heard about these long waiting lists. We contacted each of those folks, and we whittled that list down.
Only recently did they finally admit that there actually was a waiting list.
And we whittled that list down.
We were having a lunch in the executive dining room at the GM Tech Center one day, and just the two of us, and he leans over to me and he says, "Dobbles, you know something? You're my worst enemy." And I said, "Why's that?" And he said, "Well, I'm out there lobbying to show that there's no demand for electric vehicles, and you're out there proving me wrong."
As car companies made the case there was no demand, GM quietly closed its EV1 assembly line and began laying off its sales force.
They started with the ones with the biggest waiting list.
Studying General Motors' practices over the years, the executives at the top, their motto seemed to have been going backwards into the future.
When I noticed that GM was losing interest was when I wanted to release my car, and they wouldn't let me.
They didn't give me an option to buy. They said, "Thank you for leasing the car.
Turn
bye-bye.
It in now. Turn it in by such and such a date, or you're going to be held liable."
GM did do it right. They did create a great, great car. It's well engineered, it's well designed, and it's enjoyable to drive. I've never seen a company be so cannibalistic about its own product before. It's such an odd experience.
Flew over at General Motors, and looking down, we could see right next to the racetrack where the EV1 was first tested, we saw, I don't know, maybe 50 EV1s crushed and put on top of semi-flatbeds.
The fate of the last 78 EV1s remained in doubt. Chelsea led a last-ditch effort to buy the cars from GM.
Okay, General Motors contends that no one wants these EV1s here. Would anybody be willing to buy them for the residual price of the lease? And within 48 hours, over 80 people had signed up. And there were only 78 cars in that lot, and already we had a waiting list for a car that wasn't available.
Join me in holding this check, offering $1.9 million to General Motors to put these cars back on the road.
Despite the offer, GM did not respond. Car makers argued that there was not enough demand for the electric car.
And we whittled that list down.
Claiming to have spent millions of dollars on advertising, they said buyers weren't interested.
$1.9 million to General Motors.
As General Motors, 40, 50 years ago, bought up the trolley systems and shut them down, the oil companies have opposed the creation of an electric infrastructure.
I made the case at the General Motors board that the reason for the EV1 was to give General Motors a very big head start. They could not understand how Toyota could possibly make a profit out of the Prius, for example. They were going to lose their shirt.
As it gave enormous incentives to buy SUVs, the federal government also sued California to stop the electric car.
It's David versus Goliath in a very big way. But if there are enough Davids in the world, we can win.
The last EV1s in the Burbank lot were taken away and destroyed.
It will go down as one of the biggest blunders in the history of the automotive industry.
We all have to adapt to change. Let's build new industries. Let's make America strong again.
We shred the car, about a car a minute, 1,000 cars a day on a good day.
And what's interesting, the first thing we noticed when we drove up here, you're going to be shredding some new cars here, too. These look like perfectly good cars. Why are you shredding them up?
What do you think to that?
Interesting.
It's pretty simple. It's unfortunately just oil is big business, isn't it?
Do you think that's
like,
what it was?
Incredibly big business. Yeah, definitely.
Really?
That's no good. You know, it pretty much put an end. If it was as good as they claim it was,
yeah,
that's going to put an end to oil. That's the amount of money that's in oil, and pretty much every government in the Western world has, you know, a huge amount to gain from the oil market. You want to close that down as quickly as possible, which is maybe why now the more successful electric cars we get are the hybrids, aren't they? The ones that you still put fuel in.
Mm.
Yeah, interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah.
So, Tis, would you have an electric car if you could afford one?
Yeah, probably.
Too expensive, aren't they?
Way too expensive. Like, I just, it's hard. I'd probably sooner give up a car, but I can't really for my job at the moment, which sucks.
Yeah, I've gone back the other way now. I was like driving my car less and less and actually really enjoying a life without a car, especially when I was over in Vienna and I didn't need one there. And I thought, if I move to a city, I won't need a car. So now I moved to Leeds and used my car so little.
Yeah.
And now I've got this new job and I drive every fucking day, miles.
I absolutely loved when I first moved to Bristol. I didn't have a car.
Yeah.
When I got back, and it was just amazing. I loved it.
Yeah.
So
I wish I didn't need one. I think if and when I eventually move back to Vienna, I definitely won't have a car there.
Yeah.
Because the public transport system's so good.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got a public transport system that works and actually, you know, it needs to be better, it needs to be more attractive than just having a car.
The public transport system in this country really is not great. It's not reliable enough, and it's also very expensive.
It's very expensive. It's not reliable, and it's not as, you know, the great thing about having a car is being able to have complete freedom over... Mm. When you leave and, you know, you're not having to, you can go the way you want to go. You know, that was the one thing, you know, that I hated, getting a bus every day. And I wanted to enjoy it. I wanted it to not be such a big deal, but it is. It just really is. You know, when you've already had a long day at work and then you, like, even if the amount of times you get to the bus stop and you're like, oh, cool, the next one's in 10 minutes. Like, that's no big deal. I can wait 10 minutes. And then 45 minutes later, it's still not there.
Yeah. Because you went for a long time relying on the buses, didn't you, Beefy?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's only recently, like, since I started this new job that, and I still don't have my own car. I can drive, but Rachel drops me off, which is,
well, me and Becca share now as well. Like we always had our own cars, and now we share, and it's kind of a little bit of logistical planning involved.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think it's doing your bit for the planet, but I think it's just about being more responsible. In all honesty, having two cars would be so much easier for us.
Oh my god! If I could have another parking space here, that's the problem here in the flats. I've got nowhere to park. I live right in the middle of the city, so it's not like I can leave it on the street or anything.
No.
So I've got nowhere to leave to have another car.
Yeah. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I think that's what surprised me the most. Whenever we've done traveling in Europe, is how much better European public transport is. And I think that's why Europeans struggle. And actually in the States it is as well. They struggle to understand. They're like, why can't you just, when you just hop on the train or just, I guess like go to London, I suppose, the tube's pretty good. The tube's fine. But I could never, like, when Rachel was at uni and I used to get on the train to go visit her, I mean, that was just diabolical. It's like always like way too rammed. So I would get on the bus. Sorry, I would get on the train in Oxford and then get the train towards Wales. And it wasn't until I got to pretty much like Cardiff that I would be able to sit down. Pretty much have to just stand up on the train for couple of hours because they just sold too many tickets. It's nuts.
That's mad. Even Corbyn had to sit in the aisles, mate.
Have you ever had to? You haven't really, have you? You've never really had to rely on buses and stuff.
No. I've driven since I was about 18. Yeah, no. So I passed my test just before we went to Amsterdam, Bob.
Oh, right, yeah.
So just before I turned 18, I've been sent on the road in vans since then, and driven ever since. But
I don't enjoy driving.
I don't enjoy it. I don't mind it. I can switch off on long journeys.
I feel like people are far too impatient, and it's not like an enjoyable experience anymore because people are just assholes.
I just pretend I'm a red blood cell and I've just got to fall in line. I just lose the ego. if someone cuts me up, I'm just like, cool. Whatever.
I'm as I get older, I'm not a fast driver anymore at all.
No.
I drive really, really sensibly, almost boringly.
I can accelerate a little bit fast sometimes if I'm trying to get somewhere quickly.
That's how it works.
I won't break the speed limit, but I'll, for instance, drive somewhere fast if I want to get somewhere quick.
Tis Romania comes to mind.
Oh, God, Romania. I loved it. I loved it, mate. I was in my element.
Mate, we didn't.
I loved Romania.
Me and Bobby didn't.
Yeah, you loved it.
We're still alive.
Doing hairpins around the corners.
Mate, I was just when in Rome, innit? When in Rome, Ania.
When in Brasov.
When in Brasov.
When in Brasov.
Drive like a Brasovonian. Anyway, so the GM Motors EV1.
Yes, so I think we've covered that. I think that's, pretty crazy. A lot of testimony to say that it's a great car.
Well, if Hank says it, it's good enough for me.
96. 96. What's been going on since 96 that, maybe they suppressed that one, but if that was the technology back then, why has it not improved?
Yeah. Where's the EV2?
Where's the EV2? Exactly. But here's an even more crazy one, an even cleaner way to drive. Have you ever heard of the water powered car, Stanley Meyer?
No.
No, I haven't heard of the water-powered car, Stanley Meyer.
So, Stanley Meyer is a gentleman who invented the water fuel cell, which is basically a fuel cell which, a high voltage, separates the hydrogen from the water and then uses the hydrogen to burn in an engine. And hydrogen powers the engine. It's basically a hydrogen-powered car. But using water as the hydrogen element.
Is that not dangerous, though?
No. Well, I mean, apparently not.
apparently not.
He developed a car. He had, like, investors wanting to pay billions for the patents on his car.
Oh, yeah.
And he was... Well, he died in suspicious circumstances. He
was going to say, was it suspicious?
At a meeting with investors, or potential investors.
And he suddenly died from a bullet to the head.
Apparently ran out of the restaurant shouting, "They've poisoned me," and then collapsed and died. So, yeah, he actually...
He claimed they poisoned his drink?
He died screaming, "They poisoned me," apparently. Eyewitnesses.
Wow.
But the doctors say he died of high blood pressure and cerebral aneurysm.
Of course he did.
Because the doctors were paid off, weren't they?
So, yeah. Crazy. Water-powered car. And it was on the news and everything. Like, it was everywhere. So, do you want to watch a little video about the water-powered car?
Let's do it.
I want a water-powered car.
Only if it's good.
Breakthrough that will no doubt make motorists happy. And as Ralph Robinson explains, the Pentagon is also showing lots of interest in this project.
U.S. inventor Stan Myers released his water-powered car engine in 1988.
The Pentagon flew a Lieutenant Colonel in last week to look at Myers' invention. There's talk of possibly using it in the Star Wars defense program and to run army tanks.
Myers found it virtually impossible to secure financial backing after certain Pentagon officials paid him a visit. A number of similar inventions were developed and tested all around the world.
My best friend was killed over this matter. There's a chap here, about 10 minutes away from here, driving. He has been running his car on water since 1986, with the government's permission, provided that he keeps his mouth shut. And with regular intervals, using his own words, they keep warning him to keep his mouth shut. One of our colleagues who have been running car on the water for the 10-year period now, he reckons that it's 26 times more powerful than petrol.
You know, if you invent a better mousetrap, you know, the world may beat a path to your door. If you invent a free energy machine, there'll be a path beat to your door, but you don't want those people there.
One of the pivotal people that I encountered early in my career was Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut. Lift off.
Edgar J. Mitchell, an Apollo mission astronaut, founded the Noetics Institute in Southern California. The Institute's charter was supposedly to develop alternative energy systems by attracting inventors from all over the country. Mitchell became extremely interested in De Palma's end machine. He made De Palma a paltry offer to buy out the invention, which De Palma naturally refused.
He said to me that if I ever tried anything on my own in California, I would get my head blown off. So I was scared to death. The CIA operates through various very innocent-looking fronts to find out what people are thinking and what they're inventing. Now, what's more innocent than the Denying Institute founded on transcendental principles to help New Age inventors bring free energy into the world?
And that situation still exists in the United States today, where a person that really understands what's going on just can't get their idea out because the alternative science and medical fields have been co-opted by the intelligence services.
And he converted this little engine to run on water. This is many, many years ago. And he used it for several years. And somehow the news got out, and one day he got visitors, and he was told to dump the engine or else. 3 weeks later, the man was dead. And the coroner's finding was that he fell off the back of a train. He was drunk. Now it happened that he didn't drink.
Even Dr. Townsend T. Brown, the electrogravitic research scientist, has on his 16-millimeter film of his lab test, which we've got here, he has guys with the black suits and black hats come into the place. You can see where the legends come from. I mean, these guys come in and they look like, you know, bad bark to black man. I mean, it's just, it's classic, and these things do happen.
There is no progressive science in a world where every scientific idea is evaluated for its military potential.
Power, or energy, control of energy equals power in the new world order that is emerging. If you control the energy, the way we get around, the way we get electricity, the way we have our TVs and video cameras and stuff, if you do the control of the energy, then you've got control of the people.
There you go.
I think I understand where these people are coming from in that video, where it's like, you know, this guy was possibly murdered. Maybe there's technology out there that you can use water for to run a car or whatever. But did you find them the most, like, on edge, like, conspiracy nuts in the world? I don't know if the music made it feel like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, music's not helpful.
It was like they were all wearing tinfoil hats.
But it makes a lot of sense.
It does make sense, but it... Yeah, it just wasn't... I get what you mean, Bob. It's kind of unhelpful that they... Yeah, just like a bunch of whack jobs.
Whack jobs.
I don't know. Do you think he was murdered, Beefy?
I don't know.
Do you think he invented a water car, first of all?
So here's a video of him demonstrating this nitrogen thing.
Meyer claims the key is his electronics, which pulses electricity rapidly across the rods at up to 20,000 cycles per second. In a way that's not readily apparent, this process transforms the equation. Whereas in conventional electrolysis, three times as much energy is consumed as is produced in the form of hydrogen fuel, in Meyer's apparatus, the reverse is true. It appears to produce several 100% more energy than it consumes.
How crazy is that?
That was interesting to see.
That was his fuel generator at work, separating the hydrogen out.
That seems... The thing is, the idea behind it seems really simple and obvious to me when I hear it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Why hasn't someone done that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then the figures are a bit too insane. Like, 700, it produces 700% more energy than it intakes. That seems too unreal to me.
Yeah, I don't know. And how can that be tried, and how can they be confident of that over time that's going to be sustained?
Yeah.
It's too good to be true, isn't it? Like, well, maybe it's not.
The Mythbusters did a water-powered car experiment.
Right.
There's a two-minute video, but this is by a guy who actually does believe in water fuel and shows his own water fuel charger and how his one compares. And it shows the Mythbusters actually showing that a car can run on hydrogen because they pump pure hydrogen into the engine. But it's interesting. I'll show you the video. This is the guy's video, his car. This is not Mythbusters. This is his one.
Grant's hydrogen fuel cell is all about electrolysis. When you apply a voltage to electrodes in water, the H2O molecules split into hydrogen and oxygen. This internet patent can allegedly generate so much hydrogen that you can run a car with it. Adam's going to build the electrolysis device as detailed in the internet plans.
That right there is the business end of the end of the oil monopoly, man!
While Grant is concentrating on the power, it's the current through the electrodes that should cause hydrogen to be released.
This should be a square wave, and right now it's kind of a nasty sawtooth.
After an hour of fernickety fiddling, Adam's fuel cell is connected to Grant's power circuit, and everything's ready for a test.
Dude, I see bubbles. Check it out.
Yeah, it is bubbling.
It's working. Hydrogen is bursting forth.
That's the guy's own one. Look how much hydrogen bursting out of that.
Now that's hydrogen.
Now that's hydrogen.
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah, it seems crazy.
But will these tiny bubbles...
My God, it doesn't work. I can't believe it doesn't work. I found it on the internet.
But to test whether a car could even run on hydrogen in the first place, the boys are going to hose some directly into the carburetor.
Ready? Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Okay. That's the coolest thing ever. I guess you could, if you had a lot of hydrogen, run your engine completely without any other modifications.
So
it's feasible. Well, what I find interesting about that is, what makes me feel like it's more believable, is if these idiots can, like, you know, ham one together in a garage, surely with the technology of an actual car manufacturer and, you know, all those boffins at their disposal, they could make a proper one.
Yeah.
But then it's suppressed, isn't it?
Exactly. But I'm looking online now. I'm trying to find some plans. I'm going to make one.
But it's hard to tell, isn't it, how reliable these things are, because they're not tried and tested. Again, it's only good if it's not just got to work. It's got to be better than the alternative, which is fuel.
Mm.
So that's the only, you know, maybe he was murdered, and maybe some other boffins did some tests and realized he was onto some pretty good stuff. I don't know. I'm not sure.
But if you can have an EV1 or a water car, which one do you have?
EV1 sounds better because Tom Hanks drove it. I mean, who drove the water car? Like, hardly anyone. No one I know. Tim Allen didn't drive it, did he? If Tim Allen drove the water car and Tom Hanks drove the EV1, which one would you get?
Oh, definitely the EV1. Allen's a bit of a shithead nowadays.
Tis, what would you go for? Would you have a water car or the EV1?
Water car? Jesus.
I don't know. Water beds didn't catch on, so...
Do you remember water beds were really popular?
Yeah. Why?
Mulder from X-Files has a water bed.
Has he?
Yeah, there's an episode where it leaks all over his flat.
See, I don't think I've ever seen a waterbed in the flesh.
Really?
No.
My mum's got a waterbed.
Really?
Yeah.
So weird.
I know.
It's really, really weird. They can't be comfortable.
I think they've still got their waterbed. Well, they had one when I lived there.
Oh, I've never seen one, never laid on one, but they just don't seem very, like, I don't know.
Are they good for your back or not?
It depends what kind of thing you like. People like different comforts, don't they? Mm. I like my mattress to be quite firm.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be too soft to be good for your back.
Yeah, far too soft.
That's bad.
Tis, are you a soft mattress?
Tis is
or...
dying. I feel like Tis's illness is like hitting him.
Yeah.
He's been fading out for the last 5 minutes.
I'm watching this dude power his car with water. I'm trying to find, because if this is such a prominent idea, then there must be lots of people who have made it to the point where there must be a lot of videos, unless they're really good at suppressing people.
They are, though.
Yeah, bastards.
Suppressing stuff's quite hard. Have you ever tried to suppress a fart when you really, like, that's difficult?
I'm good at it, mate.
I've never taken someone to court for a fart.
I feel like Tis is really in this water car thing now. Next time we see him, he's going to pull up in a water car. He's going to have like a little, like a trucker's horn, but when he pulls it, a jet of water shoots out the top.
And then the next week, I'll be bumped off.
Like a whale with a blowhole.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he's forgotten he's hosting the episode and now he's just looking at how to build one.
Yeah.
Well, that's the episode. We've got a few honourable mentions. Radiant Energy by Henry Murray. That is
right.
Taking energy from the cosmic energy, as they would say.
Right.
And that was an interesting invention that was apparently suppressed. The Rife Ray, which is a cancer ray. Cancer curing ray.
What even they gave you cancer?
A cancer giving ray.
The cancer curing ray.
No wonder that didn't take off.
Yeah, it's got a microwave.
I think it was. I think it was the Rife ray. I think I'm right in thinking. The Rife ray is basically he would use real good microscopes to hone in on the actual cells and use the right resonances to to kill the bacteria. Maybe we'll go into resonances in another episode.
Mm-hmm. Sounds plausible.
Because resonance is fairly interesting. Anti-gravity, I can't remember a lot about that. So maybe that will be another episode. Hemp biofuel, that is sort of self-explanatory. Hemp has been suppressed for very many years. It's very useful.
So you can use hemp for anything by the sounds of it.
So much.
From the way people go on about it.
Literally so much, apparently.
It's a miracle.
And biofuel is just another one. And obviously demonized because of its use for growing marijuana, of course.
Hmm.
A certain genus of it doesn't actually contain THC, but that doesn't matter. But yeah, that's the episode.
There you go.
That's awesome. Suppressed inventions, number one, numero uno.
Thanks, Tiss.
Thank you for not suppressing it any longer.
It was a really fun one. It was good to have a real chatty one.
Yeah, definitely.
I think
yeah.
I don't know how chatty it would have been if we weren't all like shattered.
Yeah.
It's like when you're tired, you actually get more chatty in a weird way.
Yeah. Talk more shit.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
But that's good because the last two have been so sort of like focused. It's been nice to have one that's a bit more laid back.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it served us that we're all quite tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Man, my laptop is cooking my legs alive. So hot. Oh, this product's getting a bit tired. I might look into getting a new laptop.
Uh-oh. You haven't updated enough. It's kicking all the heat up. So you think, oh, I need a new one.
Let's get a fan.
So,
I've had this for 5 years now.
If we're done.
Right, what's Marriage of the Week?
Marriage of the Week. Actually, who was our listener of the week last time? Charlotte Murray. She's marriage of the week this time.
Yes.
Because by the time this goes up, she'll be married, right?
I think so. Happy wedding day. Happy marriage, Charlotte.
I love this new feature.
I've got an engagement of the week, actually.
Yeah?
Luke and Cara, my friend Luke, got engaged. Well, it was an engagement party the other week, so that's engagement of the week. It's quite a while ago.
Congratulations. Yeah,
we're gonna progress onto just everything of the week.
I've got a divorce of the week.
I'm really sorry to hear that, Beef.
Funeral
of strange
the week.
Way to bring this up.
Have we got a listener of the week? I've got a listener of the week, if we want one.
Go on. Yeah, we do want one.
This is a bit of a cop-out. Listener of the week, my brother.
Oh, yeah, that is a cop-out.
Yeah, so Danny...
Nepotism.
Danny, my brother. Yeah, nepotism and Weird Tales. But he's been texting me. He's been listening to Weird Tales, and he thinks the show's great.
Oh, wow.
It only took him, like, 4 years to finally listen to it. Now he has to get, like, the bus.
Listener of the week.
Can he have a word with his brother to sort it out?
To get the other one on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Alf. Get involved.
Get on it. But yeah, I told him I'd give him a shout out because he's been listening. So I'm going to give him more than a shout out. Dan, listener of the week, mate.
Listener of the week.
Listener of the week.
Da, 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 da.
So next episode, Beef's going to be hosting, and then we're going to take the whole of October off because I'm on holiday and Beef's having a little break. Woo! And just need a little bit of a break, and then we'll be back in November.
Absolutely.
And if you have any suggestions until then, when we come back, we'll do another ghost stories once. We've been holding back some ghost stories episodes. So if you've got more ghost stories, we've got loads, but we'll try and fit as many as we can. Send them to or get in contact at unexplainableuk@mail.com or go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com and you can use the contact form on there. There's also a blog post for every episode, including this one on there, with all the links to the videos and things. There's also links to our Twitters, our Facebook. You can buy merch on our TeePublic. There's ways to donate via PayPal on there or Ko-fi. And you can also go and support me and my time spent editing this show, as well as my others, 5 Minute Folklore and Known For, the filmography podcast. You can support me at patreon.com/BobShoy. That's BobShoy for $5 a month. You also get extra shows, 4 extra shows a month. It's really good value. So go on there and check it out. There's lots of information on there. And thanks to everyone who has listened to my relatively new podcast, Known For, because I had some really nice responses from that, and it's really fun to do. There we go, guys.
Awesome.
Smashed out all that gump, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
Well done. Gumped the shit out of that
gump. It's like I had a script the way I went through that.
Gumped.
Oh, yeah.
Right, I'm going to go to bed.
Awesome.
So Tis needs to go to bed now and get some rest.
Yeah.
Get well soon, mate.
Yeah.
I'm.
No, no, yeah. Tis. God bless.
So until next time, bye-bye. Bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That was really fun.
Wonky grapes!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.